You can take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 3. In the last couple of weeks, we had a wonderful teaching from Perry. He shared about seeing how God works. And there was just so many wonderful things he shared about how God works and how he wants to work. And he said it in manifestations today. He wants the best for us. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. What more could we ask for? Not much. And it's all gonna work out. And then John shared on rest in him. We can have great rest because of God, and he wants the best for us. And he wants to take care of us. And I should turn to 1 John. Chapter 3. So I'm going to share a little bit on identity uncrisis. Because we don't have to have a crisis knowing who we are, because we are God's kids. And verses 1 and 2, it says, behold. And I like that word behold, because it means to know, beware, be sure what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we could at times be called the sons of God. No, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So God is telling us here that we are his sons. And there's no doubt about it. He bestowed it upon us. He committed it to us. He delivered it to us, that we are his kids. And there's nothing that can, we can be talked out of it, but we don't have to be talked out of it. We continue to go to his word and believe his word. So it says, beloved, when? Now are we the sons of God. And we've got to do our best to go to his word and not get talked out of it, not get knocked off of that. Because when we get knocked off of that, we don't receive the blessings that we can have, knowing that we're God's kids. So now we're the sons of God. Now in Romans chapter 8, beloved, now we are God's kids. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start here in verse 28. You know, God said this in pretty much in manifestations. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to the world's purpose. No, according to his purpose. Not according to anyone else's purpose, but to his. And his purposes are greater than anything we can ever imagine, above all that we can ask or think. We are called to that. In verse 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Wow. So we got all these wonderful things that God called us to, that we never have to doubt, that we never have to wonder if it's true or not. It's true, because God said it. And then this great verse, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? No one. Remember the song? No one. He conformed it to us, which means he fashioned it to us. And then the image is the profile and resemblance of his Son. And what did his Son do? He did very many wonderful things, which we're going to look at in a minute. But we're going to go to 1 John 4 first, before we go to a couple of different things that he did. 1 John chapter 4. And in verse 17, we all know this one, right? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So we don't have to go to God sheepishly with being his sons. He wants us to be known as his sons. And with his sons comes with a whole other teaching series of rights, privileges, and abilities that we have because of being his sons. So it says, as he is, so are we in this world. And I go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to read 20 and 21. What does it say? It says, now then we are what? Ambassadors. We're representatives for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now then, that now then means now, certainly we are his ambassadors. We are his representatives. And when you become an ambassador, like I believe if you become an ambassador to another country, you get equipped with certain things that you can do. And God has equipped us with many, many wonderful things that we can do. And he gave us a great example of what we can do in his son. So if you would like to, turn to Matthew. Chapter 6. We're going to take just a look at a few things that this wonderful brother of ours did. Matthew chapter 6, in verse 9 and 10. And it says here, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And you all know the rest of the prayer. But one of the greatest things he did was to teach people how to pray to God and to get results and to get answers. So he taught people how to pray, how to trust God to the things that are on their hearts so they can get answers, true answers. If you go to Luke chapter 14, we'll start in verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him, and he healed him, and let him go. And what a great example of that. He had people watching him, wanting to accuse him of doing wrong, but what did he do? He still healed them. He didn't care what they think, because he knew his God wanted that person healed, and that person wanted to be healed. So he taught people how to pray, and he healed people. And then in Luke 8, a couple of chapters back, verse 23, look at this one. I love this one. 23 to 25. But as they sailed, this is talking about Jesus Christ here. As they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. Which is not good, especially when you're on a boat. You don't want to be filled with water in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was what? A calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commendeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. And because of that example, people can say that of us too. If we believe this stuff and do, you know, we can do these things that Jesus Christ did. People can say of Rube, what manner of man is this? Or Perry, or Antoinette, everyone in this room, what manner of people are these people that are doing all these wonderful things? Because we believe God. We believe in our God. And we believe we're his sons, first of all. So he set a great example of peace. He taught people to pray, heal people, and he set a great example to have peace in your heart, even in the midst of a storm. And then in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And verse 1 is where we're going to start. I'm going to read through 11, I think, here. It says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives and... And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now why were they watching this? Just a thought. In the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? So I hear another set of wonderful, beautiful people that wanted to try to accuse him of doing the wrong thing when he was going to do something beautiful. They said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. He remained peaceful, looking to God, his God, for an answer, his Father. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Wow, what a great, what other answer could there have been in that? And God provided him with that answer because he trusted in his God and he had compassion on the woman. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw no one but the woman and said unto her, Why the heck did you do all these? No. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. He didn't hold her, it was a sin what she was doing, but he didn't hold it against her because she was forgiven. She's forgiven by God and by him. But wow, what a great example, great compassion and forgiveness. And that's what we do for each other and for the people of this world. We can have great compassion on them and we can give them forgiveness of sins that hold them back from doing a lot of different things. It holds us back from living the more abundant life that we have available. Anyway, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. One through four. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, and let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. And I wanted to read it through the working translation. Let nothing be done out of factitious strife or conceit, but with humility of mind, consider one another more excellent than self. Verse 4, everyone focusing not on his own interest, but everyone even on the interests of others. And I just thought that's what, our Lord did for that woman. He wasn't concentrating on her shortcomings or where she fell short, but he concentrated on her being forgiven by God. And he had great compassion on her. And that's, again, that's what we can do for each other and for the people of the world. Colossians 2, because that's what we, you know, we come here to fellowship, we learn God's word, we read it at home, and it helps us in dealing with these wonderful people we meet up with during the day. And, you know, we could either give them more hell like the word gives, world gives them, or we could give them God's word and God's peace and love. As Ringo Starr says, peace and love, peace and love. Colossians 2.
He was a prophet.
Prophet Ringo. Colossians 2, verse 8. It says here, to beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And I thought about that, like, beware lest any man try to talk you out of being the Son of God, you know? We don't have to allow that in our lives. Because for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are what?
Complete.
We're complete in him. We're complete in that guy that did those wonderful, and you know, there's so many, many, many more miracles that he did in the Gospels there. Which is the head of all principality and power. How much more power do we need? We don't. We got it. We got it all, every single bit of it, from our wonderful God. Look at, let's see. Well, I remember in the class, or I think it was in the class, Dr. Worley used to say, completely, completely, absolutely yeah. complete. There's no more completeness no. that we need. We got it all. Go to Jeremiah.
Sure.
Jeremiah. 17. And 5-9. It says here, thus saith, you got it there? Everybody there? Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So we want to stay close to God's heart. We don't want to depart from it. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, and the salt and not and land, salt land not inhabited. So that's not a land we want to be in. I mean, just the words that they use there, salt, parched, you know, wilderness. It just does not sound good. It sounds very dry and nasty. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So as we stay close to God, we draw near to him, our need is supplied above and beyond all that we can ask or think, where we don't even have to think about it. It's just going to be there for us. It's going to be everything we could ever possibly want and need in our lives is going to be taken care of because of a wonderful God. In Psalm 73, here it is, verse 28. Now let's read. Let's read from verse 24. It says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." And I love this when he says this. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish, Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works. And that word declare is great because it means to recount, to reckon, to number. And it's just a wonderful thing for us to do, to go read, you know, the Bible and see all the wonderful things that God did for those people back then. And he can do more for us here, more for us if we just go to it and look at it, believe it, and just keep putting God's word in our mind instead of, you know, Saturday Evening Post, Look Magazine, Boys Life, all of those wonderful, the Daily News, the Daily Blues, really. You know, because you want, sometimes you get tricked into, oh, I got to know what's going on in the world because, I don't know, that'll make me all much that better, but it won't, you know. But knowing God's word is what's going to make us better and best, so. So, how about Psalm 145? Psalm 145. Okay, here we go. 18 and 19. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear or respect him, and he also will hear their cry and will save them. What? Do we have anything better than that? He will hear your cry and save you, save us. Pretty wonderful. He's nigh unto them. He's like an ally. He's always at hand for his people. And we're his people. Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse, start in verse 1. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So, do we need to have fear in our lives? Ever? No. Because we have God. He's our light and our salvation. He's the strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they what? Stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Well, I got news for you. He's in us right now. So that's even better. He's always with us every second of every day. And then lastly here, we're going to just read Hebrews chapter 11. Not the whole chapter. Not that that would be bad. But. Hebrews 11. In verse 6 it says, you know what, you guys all know this. It could say this about every verse to you guys. You guys all know this. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder. He pays it means to pay wages for those who diligently seek him. And that I love that he cometh, it means he's approachable. God is approachable for his kids every second of every day. So, if you ever get in a funk where you think you're not God's kid, don't believe it. Because we are all God's kids every second of every day, all the time. Okay?